Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
You've got me curious about this Netflix news thing.
We can talk about that now and save Venezuela
updates for
later.
Yeah, since you mentioned it, let's talk about it.
All right. Fair enough. Here's the story from MarketWatch. Lord Andrew Adonis, a former UK cabinet minister and academic, is one of the most vociferous, high-profile proponents of Brexit. Recently, he took the issue on Twitter with a coverage from the BBC of Britain's protracted departure from the European Union and pleaded for Netflix to set up a sharp, balanced news service. While Netflix won't be setting up a news service anytime soon, the streaming service is in the early stages of developing what it hopes will be a, quote, sharp, balanced, unquote, news show. A television executive who recently collaborated with Netflix on a documentary series said the streaming giant is planning a weekly news magazine show to rival longstanding network shows as CBS's 60 Minutes or ABC's 2020. So we're not talking about nightly news necessarily.
Right. That's what I was thinking when you had mentioned, you know, newscast. Oh, okay. They're going to be doing, you know, like 6 o'clock news on Netflix.
Well, you know, something on Netflix probably. Do they do live streaming? I guess they could, right? They've got the infrastructure to do streaming.
In theory, they could.
Yeah. So I suppose they could do something like that, which would be interesting to see Netflix get into the world where they are actually producing something at a specific time. While news magazine shows have been eclipsed by reality TV in recent years, with the news cycle becoming ever more partisan and frenzied under Trump, the streaming service hopes they can revive the genre. The source says, quote, Netflix are proceeding with caution over this because they're well aware that most new current affairs shows underwhelm and are expensive. They want to make their show economically viable without compromising the production costs and news gathering operation.
Now, one thing that they mentioned earlier that I want to go back to where they said, we're going to present both sides of an issue. They're still going to be buying into this. There's only left and right.
That paradigm, sure.
If they really wanted to do something interesting and that's not been done that I'm aware of in a news show, they should take a cue from the sports talk show on ESPN called Around the Horn, to where they have the host and then they have four different people that represent, you know, several different ideas instead of just, here's a guy from the Republicans, here's a guy from the Democrats.
Well, didn't Bill Maher do that with his show a long time ago? Politically Incorrect, I think is what it was called.
He didn't have, you know, a bunch of different panelists. He would
had
just
four different panelists on, yeah.
Oh, okay. Whenever I saw it, it was just like him talking to a guest.
I was talking to somebody at the donut shop about how, you know, rather long line. They're keeping people waiting for a long time. And I suspected that it's because it's, you know, there's a much lower unemployment now than there was like 2 years ago. And unemployment seems to be going down, at least in this area. And
what's the line at the donut shop have to do with unemployment? I'm sorry. Maybe I missed the connection there.
Well, people quit and, you know, it's hard to keep good help and because you have to pay them more and more. When unemployment goes down, I suspect that the donut shop people are in denial about having to raise, see, wages, the cost of labor.
Hold on. Are you saying that there's unemployment and so therefore the donut shop has worse clerks?
No, he's saying that the donut shop is understaffed and there's not enough people to work at the donut shop because unemployment is low.
But unemployment's low. I'm sorry. I missed that. Okay.
Now, what I'm getting at here is
So what kind of donut were you wanting to buy from the donut shop? That's the really important question.
Anyway,
I'm curious now, too. What's your favorite kind of donut?
I don't have a favorite donut.
Really?
But anyway, they have the
Bear
unemployment
claw.
Level keeps going down, and it's hard. You know, wages have to keep going up.
We don't have the same kind of labor costs here.
We can't tell the person at Dunkin' Donuts that their pay is being manipulated.
Well, plus, actually, here the co-hosts are essentially volunteers who get kind of a bonus. We've been
stipend
recently throwing them a stipend to come in here just because we appreciate what they do. But ultimately, it's not an employee-employer situation
right.
here. And no, Daryl, you can't just call the CEO of Dunkin' Donuts up. If you could, then I'd be on the phone with him tomorrow to pitch him on taking Bitcoin or something like that. These
right.
people have gatekeepers for a reason.
Oh, I know
to
that.
To keep people like Tom from calling. That's the reason why people like Tom call Free Talk Live, because we don't have a gatekeeper.
Right.
And you can call in. There's no gate here. There is a call screener. He will ask you your name, where you're calling from, and in like one word what you
want
to talk about.
And it doesn't even have to be an actual name.
No, you can name yourself whatever it is you want here on Free Talk Live.
Who's the guy, Cobra Commander, that used to call in?
Long. It's been way too long. We don't know what happened to him after the 2012 campaign when he was running for president. He didn't show in the 2016 elections. We never heard from him during that time frame, I don't believe. So maybe someday we will hear from Cobra Commander again. Headline from NBCNews.com, students demand action on gun violence with nationwide walkout. Parkland, Florida, they solemnly spilled onto the high school football field, holding signs protesting gun violence and wearing shirts that read, "March for Our Lives." They waved at a crowd of onlookers who had gathered to show support. Exactly 1 month after 17 people were killed at the high school in Parkland that we reported on previously, survivors of the massacre joined tens of thousands of students across the United States by walking out of school this morning. So I presume those are the walkouts that that particular caller was discussing. They were held at 10 a.m. local time in each time zone and lasted 17 minutes, 1 minute for each of the Parkland victims. Organizers said the purpose was to highlight Congress's inaction against gun violence plaguing our schools and neighborhoods. Your thoughts, Daryl?
I saw something on Twitter where somebody was claiming to be a high school student somewhere, and they said that they were being forced
to
walk out. And it was basically a statement of, you know, like, don't believe that this is actually student-led. Now, whether or not that's accurate across the country, if it was accurate only at his school. I saw another report. There was some school where students were threatened with suspension if they walked out, and only one student got up and walked out of the classroom. Of these, 54 million Netflix customers in the United States, how many of them are like you to where they'd still do the I get a DVD a year?
That's a good question. I don't know if they give out public information like that. I don't think they're a publicly owned company, but I could be wrong. Maybe they are. No, I think I've seen the stock numbers for them, so they must be public. I wonder if they give out that information to see.
That's what I'm trying to figure out.
Because it used to be
also trying to figure out, you know, roughly how many people wind up using a Netflix thing because
using the service that they've purchased. You mean
no. So like you were saying that sometimes there's three people that live in the house and they share a Netflix
subscription. Isn't that where the term Netflix and chill came from, where, you know, people will get together or couples or whatever and they will watch Netflix together, sort of like families or whatever used to watch television
That's
together?
Not what Netflix and chill means.
No? Okay, what does it mean?
Let's turn on Netflix and then make out and go have sex.
Oh, so chilling now means having
yes.
sex. Okay, all right. That's yes. news to me.
Personally, I do not believe that these children really understand what it is they're trying to do with our constitutional rights in our country. But what's taken me off even more is in a lot of schools, and I know one close here by me in Laughlin, Arizona, the high school, when the kids didn't want to participate in it, they scheduled a fire drill right at the same time and forced all of the kids out into the school, out into the field,
really?
To make it look like they were participating in the
wow.
walkout. And that went on in a lot of places. So I think that the schools or the principals or the school boards or the city government has an agenda to make it look like more people are taking part in this walkout than really want
All
to
right.
be.
So let me propose an alternate theory here. Couldn't it be that they scheduled the fire drill that way, you know, you sort of make sure that nobody's walking out of anything important?
No. I mean, come
on. I don't believe so. I really That's... don't. They want everybody out there to look like the whole school is united in this walkout. I'm sure by now you guys have heard about the school teacher in California that accidentally discharged a firearm and hit three kids?
No, I didn't hear about that.
Okay. I saw a headline about some kind of discharge of a firearm, but I didn't know it was California.
What happened there?
I guess he was giving a class on firearm safety. And my point is, everybody's yelling that teachers aren't qualified to handle firearms, that cops are more well-trained. This teacher was a cop. He was a reserve police officer that works as a teacher on his off time.
Wow.
Reminds me of the video of the gun instructor saying, nobody in this room is qualified to handle these firearms.
The DEA
and he
guy.
Goes to put it in his holster.
And he shoots himself.
And he pulls the trigger and shoots himself in his leg.
That one's funny because he only hurts himself. In this case, it does appear that some of the students were injured. So it's not as funny. Not funny at all.
I can speak to my brother about the school walkouts. He's currently in high school. I'm in college.
Okay.
Nothing happened today. I didn't know about them until I got back.
He's in a Denver high school?
He is, yes. I do know they did have walkouts. I believe their policy was you can walk out or not. It doesn't really matter.
Hold on. Did he say there was nothing that happened or that there were walkouts that happened? I'm not clear.
There was walkouts at my brother's high school. However, in my college and trade school, it was just a normal day. Everything went on normally.
And did you get any kind of indication from your brother as to the size of the walkouts that occurred?
He said it was a good percentage of the people there. So
now, of course, I remember in high school, nobody wanted to be there. So if there was an excuse to,
even if you were against, kind of what I expect.
Right. You know, there probably were a bunch of people who don't really feel very strongly about the issue who just joined into the walkout. But yeah, you get out of class. You know, if you do it in large numbers, what are they going to do? Send everyone to detention? I mean, it's just not likely.
No.
Right.
One of the chatters in the Twitch chat room asked the question of, you know, was Mortal Kombat the original game that was the most violent kind of controversial game? And I said, I'm sure there was something that came before Mortal Kombat that was also, you know, gory that just didn't hit as big, right? It didn't get the press. People didn't know about it like they did with Mortal Kombat, which, of course, for listeners that are unfamiliar, Mortal Kombat was a fighting game in the early 1990s that kind of was the impetus, along with another game called Night Trap, for the congressional hearings that actually Joe Lieberman headed up. And those hearings were centered around violent video games, and they ended up threatening the video game industry and said, we're going to force a rating system on you unless you voluntarily do it. So not exactly a voluntary thing, but they did voluntarily.
We're going to steal your money unless you voluntarily hand it over to us at treasury.gov.
They created their own rating system at that point. And so, but prior to that, you know, the question was, were there any other video games that were gory, like Mortal Kombat? And I just happened to stumble across one of them last night.
Death Race?
No. What was that one for?
According to the National Coalition Against Censorship, the first controversial video game was Death Race.
Headline here from the Associated Press is about YouTube, which officially is now cracking down on conspiracy videos. Although it's scant on details, conspiracy videos abound on YouTube, whether it's about the Earth being flat or school shootings being staged. YouTube, its parent company Google, Facebook, and Twitter are all facing challenges with the spread of misinformation, propaganda, and fake news. YouTube CEO Susan Wojcicki said at a conference Tuesday the company will include links to the online encyclopedia Wikipedia to try to debunk videos espousing conspiracy theories. What are you laughing about?
The fact that somebody is going to have to, you know, somehow figure out what conspiracy is being presented in a video and then find the corresponding wiki article. The entire thing here is just laughable.
Yeah, it's insane.
It's almost like, remember a couple of months ago we talked about the thing where YouTube was supposed to be putting something up about this video was posted by a government entity.
Right. The idea was they were going to be posting that warning on like RT or BBC or something like that.
Before you get into some of the other conspiracies, what I find more objectionable are some of the more recent monetization changes that YouTube has made.
Yeah, a lot of the YouTube creators have complained about that.
To where I got an email, and I don't put a lot of stuff up on YouTube, but right. I got an email recently saying that I no longer qualify for monetization, and I think maybe in over a decade I may have gotten a check once. But because I don't have like 10,000 hours of videos watched per week and I don't have, you know, some astronomically high number of subscribers, I can no longer get a
penny.
You
just got disqualified.
Just disqualified. Yep. And then there were the other things to where they were trying to say that anything related to wrestling content, because it's fantasy violence, that those channels were just going to be blanketly demonetized. But then I think they backtracked on that, and they're like, well, that's not what we meant, but even though that's exactly the words that were used, we don't mean you.
Yeah.
Because we don't want all of you to leave and go over and do your shows on Twitch.
Well, I mean, you can do your show on Twitch. You can still do the show on YouTube. You just aren't going to make as much money on it.
Basically, what I've seen is that YouTube, Twitch, or any of these other billion-dollar companies are basically, not in a broad sense, killing free speech at the same time as bringing in as much money as possible to their companies. It's the Disney effect, you know. If you can get the kids, you can get the parents. You get the parents, you know, it's generational.
Which is interesting, given that YouTube started as kind of at least a purported free speech platform, in that you couldn't put up, you know, pornography, or there was a couple things that they wouldn't allow. But otherwise, pretty much anything could be said, anything could be shown on YouTube. And now that's changing with all the demonetization going on, these policy changes, and politicization as well.
And another thing, it's a way that YouTube can save money. Right. You know, they can just claim, oh, well, you're conspiracy, or, oh, you're providing fake news. You know, oh, we're going to take your money away. We're going to take your demonetization. Right.
Right.
It's just control. All of it's just control and putting on whatever they want.
It sure is.
Be the face.
And they can do, of course, whatever they want. They're a private company, so if they want to change their rules, they certainly can. But it will create a market opportunity for somebody else to have that free speech platform. People are used to content being free. They're willing to put up with some advertisements generally to allow that free content, but it's hard. And that's not to say it's impossible. I mean, you can look at like XM or Sirius Satellite Radio, and people pay for that content. People pay for Netflix. And
we were talking about Netflix and Hulu earlier.
But it's
people pay for Hulu, and then they are paying to watch commercials.
Yeah, that's true.
And it's the same on Amazon. Like, I pay for that, and it's, you know, I get Amazon Prime, and that's nice. But sometimes there's little commercials every now and again. I'm like, wait a second. You know, they're getting me on both ends. They're getting my money, and they're getting these advertisements in there.
Yeah, that bugs me. Although, apparently, Daryl did tell me that the Hulu people have a tier for you watch ads and a tier for you don't have to watch ads.
Right. That's why the only reason I'd go and watch Hulu anymore is It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia is on there now. So I might have to bite the bullet and do it until I can finish the series. But other than that, I'll stick to YouTube, Netflix, Twitch, and, you know, kind of the more I pay for it, you leave me alone with the ads, and I can just be free to do what I want.
Today at 10 o'clock throughout the nation, including at Bedford High School, students decided to perform a walkout for 17 minutes. So in practice, it was 1 minute for each individual that died at the shooting in Parkland, Florida. And however, what started as something that's quite benign and remembering those that died in the shooting, it started to morph into something more political and not so benign. There's multiple posters. It's very much anti-gun, if anything. So what people were saying, that it was pretty much, you know, just it was mourning the deaths. It was actually just people just wanting to get a bigger crowd out there to show that there's actually real backing, quote unquote, for gun control.
So now, what percentage of the students there at your high school would you say actually wound up walking out?
One of my estimates from one of my friends that were out there and saw what happened, took a picture. He said it was an estimate about 300 students, a good 300.
And where is this, Bedford High School?
The Bedford High School has, I think it's 1,400 students.
Okay.
So do the quick maths quickly. It's
one in five, roughly.
Were you in a classroom at 10 a.m. to where you could see people walking out from the class?
Well, you see, what the school decided to do, they changed the schedule around to accommodate what was going to happen. So we had a two-hour delay, but we had homeroom first. So when the walkout was going to occur, it only affect homeroom.
Spencer, since I had actually asked you to call in, you probably weren't listening earlier when somebody had mentioned one school specifically in Arizona where the school had scheduled a fire alarm at the same time, supposedly to make it look like everybody was participating in the walkout. Did you have any sense that the administration wanted kids to actually participate while also saying, make sure you have a note if you're going to participate?
No, it was the school. That's what I'm happy about, Bedford. I mean, they're not partisan. They're not against or for anything, or at least appears that way. I know the principal. I'm not going to go into detail about him, but I know him quite well. There was no leanings, per se, in either direction.
All right. Hey, thanks for the heads up, Spencer. Anything else you want to share about it?
I did hear, though, that in California, someone tweeted a student that they were actually being forced to go outside. Hmm. It wasn't just a fire drill. Some places actually forced you to go outside, apparently, in some places.
I saw that tweet, but, as with anything on the internet, you never really know if it's true or not. As Abe Lincoln once said, don't believe everything you read. On the internet.
Patricia Laya over at Bloomberg is doing a series, or Bloomberg is, on Venezuela. They're calling it Life in Caracas. It's a series of short stories that seeks to capture the surreal quality of living in a land in total disarray. Quote, we don't have any, unquote. Living in Venezuela, you get used to hearing that. But the story behind the missing ham was different. It's not that supermarket managers were having trouble finding enough to sell, the typical cause of shortages ravaging the country. They had decided to stop ordering it. The reason? After years of hyperinflation, the price is too long. That's right, they wrote too long in this story. Not too high, but too long. The store's deli scales run only to six digits. And ham, my WhatsApp food hunting community tells me, is retailing nowadays for about 1.48 million bolivars per kilogram, which means you would need seven digits to display the price of ham.
You said 1.48?
Correct.
That is higher than the country's minimum wage per month.
Wow. For a kilogram of ham. It didn't matter that I wanted only a few hundred milligrams. The cost was, at this market at least, incalculable. It would only seem to be a matter of time before the Maduro regime opts to reset the value of the currency to ease these logistical headaches. It's been 10 years since officials first tried such a move, lopping off three zeros and rebranding it the Strong Bolivar, which we've talked about here, the Bolivar Fuerte, which means Strong Bolivar.
I wonder if, plop off six zeros and then call it the Stronger Bolivar?
Yeah, who knows? I mean, and nobody in Venezuela is going to be fooled by this a second time, right? I mean, if this move fooled you 10 years ago, is the same move by the government going to fool you again this time? Because it's the same thing. And ultimately, it won't last as long, will it? Because 10 years ago, when they lopped off three zeros back then, the economy was stronger in Venezuela.
Yes.
They still had sort of like a middle class living that you could make. There was still money coming in from the oil sales that was significant back at that time. Life was completely different for people in Venezuela 10 years ago when that happened. Now, you've got an insane inflation rate going on there. And so if they lob off six zeros, it's only going to be a matter of another year probably before they're all back on.
Antonio Perez, a semi-retired real estate agent. Antonio, 73 years old, by the way, woke up at 5 a.m. to stand in line outside a bank to cash his monthly pension. His breakfast, a cup of coffee. Mm-hmm. By the time he had arrived, there were already 140 people waiting to cash their checks as well.
At the bank. Can you imagine? I mean, it's annoying when there's five people in front of me at the bank.
Yeah. An average monthly pension trades for about $1.81 on the black market.
A U.S. dollar and 81 cents. Gotcha.
Yes.
Yeah. Wow.
He continues to try to work.
That's what he's standing in line for. I mean, again, can you imagine standing in line
for
$2? Right, for $2 behind 140 other people who probably are also getting similar amounts of money.
The article says, but last year was the worst of his career. He didn't sell a single property.
Wow.
Perez said of himself and
his
wife, we're barely surviving. If prices keep rising, I don't know what we're going to eat.
Yeah.
As the economy in Venezuela crumbles, daily life has become a constant struggle consisting of waiting in lines and stretching a minuscule wage that each day buys fewer goods.
That's brutal.
They've got a picture here that I want to describe, or rather attempt to describe. It's looking down a grocery aisle.
Mm. Oh, wow.
On the left.
These are prohibited. These photos are prohibited. If they catch you taking those pictures, you will be in trouble.
Not. So before I tell you about the shelves, there are a total of four people in the aisle.
Mm.
A woman holding what appears to be maybe a jar of mayonnaise and a carton of some sort. You can't really tell what it is. And then a bottle in her right hand. Three men standing down at the back of the aisle. Wearing what appear to be worker suits of some, you know, like blue jumpsuit overall sort of thing. And then far behind that, there's someone that appears to possibly maybe be standing at a checkout line. The aisle on the left, or rather the shelving on the left of the aisle, completely empty. The shelving on the right, mostly empty, appears to have... again, I can't see the labels, but looking at the bottles, it looks like the bottles of hot sauce.
Okay, great.
And then further down,
there's
something that, again, I can't tell what it is. Don't
pour it on the bones of the little mouse that you caught in your house that you can
but
eat raw
basically
or something.
The shelves are barren. Belkis Bolivar wandered around a local market near her home in downtown Caracas.
It's an unfortunate last name.
She headed for a shelf. Well, no different than somebody here being named Dollar, which
That's
is
unusual.
An actual last name.
I've never met anybody with that last name. Have you?
I went to school with a guy whose last name was Dollar.
Really?
Yes.
All right.
Belkis Bolivar, again, wandering around a market. She headed for a shelf where just 3 days ago, a carton of eggs was marked at 480,000 Bolivar, about 14 U.S. dollars. She picked it up, believing it to be the same price. But the clerk told her the price had increased to more than what she could afford on her salary as an elementary school teacher.
It probably went up between the time she walked into the door and got to the aisle. I mean, the inflation's pretty crazy there.
The article says, luckily, her wage combined with her husband's still allows her to complete her weekly purchases.
Mm, for now.
She says, we have to buy as soon as we get our paycheck.
Yep.
We don't know if we'll be able to buy anything next week. Prices move fast within the same market. Jonathan Marquez, who works as both a security guard and a taxi driver, says even with both salaries, he still struggles to feed his family. His weekly paycheck of 250,000 bolivars is only enough to buy food.
That's a dollar. 250,000. It's right now 217,000 bolivars per U.S. dollar. You're talking about a dollar and change.
Yes.
Is his weekly pay.
He says he can either buy food or he can buy a bar of soap that costs 200,000 bolivars. He says we can either clean or we can eat.
That's a terrible choice.
He always picks food. Yep. And ends up mixing shampoo that was left over with water and uses the liquid as soap.
Wow.
Inside a pharmacy, Francisco de Castro, 75, is also facing a dilemma. Buy one or two boxes of medicine that he needs to treat his high blood pressure.
Oh, man.
With medicine growing scarce, de Castro hunts daily to find it.
Unbelievable.
If he does, a box of 10 pills can cost more than his monthly pension.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live.
You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.